Let us pray for the Lord's blessing on the reading and preaching of His Word.
Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, we come before You now and we want to know You better. We want to love You more deeply and we want to be nearer to You. And so we pray now, O Lord, that You would open the Word of life to us and that You would help us to understand it and to be fed by it. Fill us with Your Holy Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 25. Exodus chapter 25, and we'll begin reading at verse 23 and continue reading through verse 30. We are on the table for the showbread. That is the piece of furniture that we're at in the tabernacle. So, Exodus chapter 25 at verse 23. Hear now the word of our God. You shall also make a table of acacia wood. 2 cubits shall be its length, a cubit its height, its width, and a cubit and a half its height. And you shall overlay it with pure gold, and make a molding of gold all around. You shall make for it a frame of a handbreadth all around. And you shall make a gold molding for the frame all around. And you shall make for it 4 rings of gold, and put the rings on the 4 corners that are at its 4 legs. The rings shall be close to the frame as holders for the poles to bear the table. And you shall make the poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold, and the table that the table may be carried with them. You shall make its dishes, its pans, its pitchers, and its bowls for pouring. You shall make them of pure gold, and you shall set the showbread on the table before me always. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, this morning we continue looking at the furniture in the tabernacle. And remember, last time we considered the order in which each of the pieces of furniture are described as well as their placement within the tabernacle complex. And what we see is that God's people dwell with Him all by grace. That it is God's grace that goes out to draw His people to Himself, and that even as God's people respond to that grace, they only respond and come near to the Lord by His grace as well. With the table of showbread, we are still in that description of God's grace going out to His people to draw them to Himself. That we, His people, would be nearer, still nearer to Him. And with the table of the showbread, another thing we need to keep in mind as well is the significance of this piece of furniture and all that it points forward to. Where it is in the tabernacle. Because we have to remember the Ark of the Covenant, as we considered last time, is the starting point for where God's grace is going to come out to draw His people in. And it is significant that it is called the Ark of the Covenant. Because it is only because of the covenant of grace. It is only because God has promised to make the way for us to come into His presence that any of the rest of this is possible. that it is only because the blood of Christ intercedes for us that we are brought near and experience all the blessings of God. And so we always have to remember that everything is flowing out of that Ark of the Covenant. All the blessings that we are talking about are all coming forward because God, in His sovereign will, chose to save His people. And He promised to do so, and He kept that promise. And so as we look at this now, this table of the showbread, we are reminded that God is giving this blessing in the midst of a loving, covenantal relationship that He has established. This is important for us to remember that everything comes from the ark, and including the blessing, as we're going to see, of the table. Because we have to be reminded of what the Apostle John tells us at Christ's crucifixion. That when He had breathed His last and was dead upon that cross, what happened? A soldier came and thrust a spear into His side. And what does the Apostle John record for us there? That out came blood and water. Blood and water. Why does John record that? Well, to show that He really had died. That's the first thing. But the second thing is to show that everything that is necessary for our eternal life and blessing and cleansing has all been accomplished by the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. It was the only way that justice could be done and grace given to a sinful people. And that is the context now in which we must come to see this table of the showbread. We must first recognize that this table, which represents the continual blessing of God being given to His people, is only possible because of God's covenantal, faithful love for us shown in the salvation that is provided for us in the cross of Christ. Now, the table of showbread was a table that was to hold the 12 loaves of bread that were to be continually in the holy place. Remember back when we considered Jesus' statement that He is the bread of life, bread was symbolic of the necessities for life. Bread was the staple of everyone's diet in the ancient Near East. It was the one food that they would eat continually throughout the year. They did eat some meat from time to time. They did eat some olives and dates and grapes and even some vegetables. I know that's... But they did. They ate those too. But those were all seasonal things. Right? The one thing that stored really well and the one thing that they could make throughout the year was bread. You can store those kernels of wheat and barley, and even as flour, you can store that for a very long time. And so, that was the staple. And if you were a poor person, the one thing that you knew you would be able to afford was bread. Meat, maybe not so much. Olives, maybe not so. Grapes, don't know. But bread, that was the cheapest food commodity, and it was the most abundant, and it was the one that stored. And so bread came to symbolize in that world life. If the wheat or barley harvest failed, that spelled for the people of that time death. They maybe could go on for a little time without it. They maybe had some store supplies, right? But it wouldn't take long for that to all be gone. Bread was a symbol of life and became symbolic of the necessity of life. God is here showcasing that He is the one that is going to provide for His people everything that they need for eternal life. And that provision for eternal life was not occasional. It was continual. The bread was always supposed to be there on that table. Every day there was bread set out on this table to remind the people that the Lord would provide everything that they needed for body and soul. For temporary life here, but even more than that, for eternal life. And in the construction of this table and all the vessels that were used to hold the bread and make the bread, we are told that they were covered in gold. The same material that the Ark of the Covenant was covered in, the same material that the mercy seat was made entirely out of, the most precious of metals. The fact that everything is covered in gold is a constant reminder that it is the God who is holy, 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 that is the one that is providing for His people. Now this has real practical implications for us in how we worship our God in our daily life. Because as we look at every provision that our God has blessed us with, we must recognize that it comes from His holy hand. That means that as we see the Lord's gracious provision for us in our lives, everything from the food in our fridge to our eternal life with Him, we are to thank Him and praise Him as He is, the thrice holy God. You see, brothers and sisters, we have a tendency, as I already mentioned this morning, we have a tendency, and especially in our culture, to treat everything as ordinary. The temptation to do so for us can even creep in how we view our worship and the height of our earthly worship in church. That we treat this time together with God as ordinary. We can even read the Bible and the provision of God's Word as ordinary or only as slightly more holy than other books. Even though on many of our Bibles, what does it say on the cover? The Holy Bible. Which literally means what? The Holy Book. There are certain physical items that you own or memories that you have that are sacred to you. I have an itchy blanket. It's a terrible blanket. It's made of that really scratchy, itchy material. It's like sackcloth. And it's got these pink roses on it. And Jenny was wanting to throw it away many times ago. But I just can't give it up. Because it was given to me by people that have now passed on and that I remember with great fondness. And that blanket reminds me of what they taught me. the importance of preaching the gospel. So maybe you have items in your house that also hold special significance to you in similar ways. Or maybe you have memories. One of my most precious memories is the moment right before Jenny and I were married, and we stood back to back, eyes closed, of course, didn't want to see each other before she walked down the aisle. But we held hands and we prayed. And that was a very special moment in our lives and one that I will cherish forever. Those moments and those things are holy because of the significance that they carry. But my brothers and sisters, while we do have to make sure that we are keeping things in perspective, there are some things that are more holy than other things. We must remember that everything that we receive from our God is from His holy hand. And that means that everything has significance to us. That as we think about this time that we have together in church, this is the highlight of our week. This is the time in which we spend in God's intimate presence. And so we see this time as most sacred in our week. That we give to this our full attention and eagerness, because this is the time in which we meet with God's people, where we meet with God Himself. But it also means that when we eat our PB&Js, that we remember there is a holiness to that. Because God gave us that PB&J. God gave it. And so we pray with thankfulness in our hearts, not only for this sacred time that we have together, but even for the PB&J. Because we recognize it is from the hand of our holy God, the one who provides everything that we need for body and for soul. This leads us then to our second point. The Lord provides for all of His people all of the time. The 12 loaves that were to be placed on this table symbolized provision for the 12 tribes of Israel, which represented the entirety of God's people. Our covenant faithful God will provide for all of His people all of the time. There are times in our lives when we feel like God has abandoned us. We wonder where He is. This table was set in the tabernacle to remind His people that He would never forget them, and that He would continue to provide for them. No matter what their feelings told them, the truth was, God was going to provide. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 88. Psalm 88. Psalm 88 is the saddest psalm in the Psalter. That's maybe why we don't know it so well. We try to avoid it. But it's good and necessary for us to consider this psalm. Psalm 88, at verse 1. O Lord, God of my salvation, I have cried out day and night before You. Let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear to my cry. For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draws near to the grave. I am counted with those who go down to the pit. I am like a man who has no strength, adrift among the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, and who are cut off from your hand. You have laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the depths. Your wrath lies heavy upon me, and you have afflicted me with all your waves, Selah. You have put away my acquaintances far from me. You have made them you have made me an abomination to them. I am shut up and I cannot get out. My eye wastes away because of affliction. Lord, I have called daily upon you. I have stretched out my hands to you. Will you work wonders for the dead? Shall the dead arise and praise you? Selah. Shall your loving kindness be declared in the grave, or your faithfulness in the place of destruction? Shall your wonders be known in the dark, and your righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? But to you I have cried, O Lord, and in the morning my prayer comes before you. Lord, why do you cast off my soul? Why do you hide your face from me? I have been afflicted and ready to die from my youth. I suffered your terrors. I am distraught. Your fierce wrath has gone over me. Your terrors have cut me off. They came around me all day long like water. They engulfed me altogether. Loved one and friend you have put far from me, and my acquaintances into darkness. There are times in our lives when we have all felt this way, haven't we? But we all felt that the Lord has abandoned us. And it is not wrong to cry out to the Lord, not in anger, but in a genuine plea to say, Lord, where are you? To plead with him to make his gracious presence known to you. But you notice what the psalmist starts with. O Lord God of my salvation. Even though the psalmist is struggling and wrestling in his soul, wondering, Lord, where are you in this time of struggle? He still remembers the truth. And then we must come to Psalm 89. Because these two psalms go together. They're a couplet. And Psalm 89 at verse 1 says, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known your faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Your faithfulness shall be established in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn to my servant David, your seed I will establish forever and build up your throne to all generations. We all go through those times where we wonder, where is the Lord? Where our feelings are deceptive and they tell us that the Lord has abandoned us. But we must always come back to the truth. That the Lord is the God of our salvation and He has provided the way and He will provide the way and sustenance for us in our daily lives and eternal life forever and ever. And there is no variation or shadow of turning with Him. He will not fail. He will provide. Even when it feels like God has abandoned us, we must remember that so often our feelings do not match reality. This bread on that table was to be a constant reminder to the people that the Lord will continue to provide for them even in the midst of extreme hardship. God will be covenantally faithful. Which leads us to our last point. We know that our God has been and will always be faithful to His promises because He has given us the one who is the bread of life, our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who does supply us with everything we need for body and soul, in life and in death. There's a helpful passage to us in Genesis we considered many years ago now. Genesis chapter 22, where Abraham is commanded by God to sacrifice his son, Isaac. And you remember that Abraham built that altar on top of Mount Moriah, and just before Abraham was going to plunge the knife into his son, the angel of the Lord stopped him and provided a ram for the sacrifice. Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. Children, where is Mount Moriah? It's Golgotha. It's the place where the Lamb of God was slain, where Christ was crucified, so that we could forever eat the bread of life and receive eternal life from Him and enjoy it with Him forever. The Lord always provides. When you are tempted to doubt, remember the cross of Christ. Look to the mountain called Jehovah Jireh, for it is there that all the promises of God are fulfilled, and the constant encouragement of God's grace to us is forever supplied. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give You thanks and praise for Your most precious word. And we thank You, O Lord, for this wonderful reminder that You truly do provide everything that we need for body and soul. For You provide us with our daily bread. And You also, O Lord, provide for us the forgiveness of our sins. May, O Lord, we be reminded in times when we are in extreme doubt and wondering where You are, that we would be reminded of the cross of Christ and be reminded of Your covenantal faithfulness as seen so clearly there, to be reminded that You, the Lord, will provide. You always have. You are right now, and we know that You always will. Give us a heart of faith, Lord, to trust You in these things. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.